This night is just continues to go downhill.
Acknowledge me.
About time you did something right.
Oh, see, I just can't stand.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Ooh, nothing. Don't get near. Ooh, I'll tell you. Ooh.
Dude, I want justice.
Does this job come with hazard pay, King?
Yes.
We got a new hit.
Yes.
Kids, don't try this at home.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman and it's sparse around the table today, but I have the people I need, like my audio guy.
We have a sound guy that must be from New Jersey or something.
By the way, have you recovered from Tuesday yet?
Yeah, barely.
Yeah, because the BS Big Show, you were not a happy guy at that way that time.
Thankfully, it calmed down afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then my other guy at the table here, my man in the Big Apple, Jason Block.
We have most of the people. Oh, there's something I wanted to talk about. In the Hall of Fame, we got more people this week. But the one person who may not be there is Bray Wyatt. Strangely enough.
Hmm.
But so, it's still going to be a very good class.
Well, my dear Uncle Paul is in it.
Let's start with that. We had two people this week. One of them was related to WWE 2K24, and that is greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. Okay.
Yep.
Remember, he was the guest referee in WrestleMania 1. He fought Antonio Inoki. By the way, I didn't realize this. He was in Collision in Korea in 1995. Did you know that?
I did not.
And a guy by the name of Thunderbolt Patterson. Old 70s African-American wrestler. Fought against racial discrimination he was the first one to campaign for a wrestler's union. He claimed that that led to be blackballed for him. The one other person heard rumors, and I think this is a little nepotism here, is someone named Leah Maivia. You know who that is.
Yeah, when you're on the board, you get to make these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
I get it.
But yeah, so. The big story of the week was the biggest open secret in wrestling, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the first advertisements for this event, I believe it was in January, we saw the sign Boston, B-O-S-S-T-O-N, and the rumor that, Mercedes Varnado was on the AEW payroll for a couple of months now. So in Boston this past week with a very funny video of Bailey, Naomi, and Tamina sneaking in with masks in the bathroom. I don't know if you saw that video.
No, I did not.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Mercedes Varnado is now Mercedes Moné and is now the CEO of All Elite. However, I have to laugh at this. I have to laugh at this for one reason and one reason only. And I have to read because she also did a 13-minute interview, but I also want to talk about this. She said, you know, I am, she said, I am on a global mission. This was part of the interview with Renee Paquette. And she also said this on TV. And the women, I am on an AEW revolution. I got to lead a women's evolution before. And I'm here to do so much more. And the women here are amazing. The best. I've been watching for years. And to watch every single week and have these dreams again. She is saying, and I quote, that she's leading a women's revolution in AEW. And to that I say, bullshit. Okay.
This right here is bullshit.
Yes.
It is. Because AEW doesn't really have a women's division. They are still horrible about getting the matches on TV. Does anybody know who the women's champion is right now? And how many women in the division? Okay, then how many and how okay. And how many people in the women? How many women in the women's division can you name?
Okay, like, I can name a few. I can name Thunder Rosa, Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale. Wow.
Exactly.
Deanna Purrazzo. What I was about to say. Mariah May. Maybe about 10. Maybe more. Red Velvet, Sky Blue, Julia Hart. So I can name a few.
Okay, but I'm just saying it's I would have trouble naming them. As I said, I spoke with one of our other panelists the other day when I saw this promo and said this is the funniest joke I've ever heard. And she said, "What women's division?" I said, "Exactly."
Right. She in the promo on Revolution on Dynamite, she said she says she's AEW because she needs to be here and wants to be here to make the revolution global. Dude, really? Okay, global.
Global. Yes.
Global, my ass. You okay? You did more things to create a women's revolution in the WWE in the years that you were there. Let's see. First women's main event in first Hell in a Cell match, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
And first Elimination Chamber.
Right. First Elimination Chamber. Okay. And the rumor is she's getting paid $15 million by Tony Khan, allegedly, okay? You know, and they also mentioned that Okada supposedly has got 14 million reasons to be happy, according to the Elite, okay? Do you know what this reminds me of, VRM?
This reminds me of the late 90s, early 2000s period.
WCW just throwing money at people so Vince can't have them. I'm sorry. So Hunter can't have them now. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Now, okay. Osprey, I can understand. Okay. Totally. Mm-hmm. Osprey style, I don't think would work in WWE. Okay.
Okada.
Okada could probably go either way.
But mm-hmm. But I can understand.
He also okay. already has working relationships in
right,
and that we have this that NJPW still has a working relationship to them thanks to somebody who's probably on vacation right now.
Yeah, he is. He's hurt still. Oh, are you talking about the other guy?
I'm talking about the other guy.
Oh, please. Okay.
Hey, just wait till a little bit later for another tinfoil hat moment, okay?
Okay, fine. That's okay. So you had Okada, Ospreay, and Mercedes Moné on the card, right? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you're you would think that people would be knocking on the door to watch the show, right? Right?
Normally? I think so. I would think so.
VRM, what are the numbers of the show?
Well, according to the overnight ratings, Mercedes segment drew 798,000.
No. That was the whole show.
That was
Mercedes
the whole show?
Drew a million. Mercedes drew, did. Yes.
So show drew an average 798,000, and the Mercedes segment drew a million.
Yes.
What did the basketball games hit overnight?
Don't know. But
because that was probably one of the big stealers in terms of viewing, because every single major basketball conference started their tournament on Wednesday. Big East, Big Ten, Pac-12. Actually, I think the ACC started the day before. SEC. Yeah, the big power, the power conferences all started it Tuesday or Wednesday. So there was a full slate of basketball games. So that probably didn't help matters at all.
No, but do you think that was the only factor?
No, I don't.
No, because there's other factors, and I will give you, there's two major guys missing, okay? One is Kenny Omega. He's hurt, okay? Two, there's another guy, MJF, okay? And yes, the opening quarter, according to WrestleNomics, did a million with the 0.32 in the 18 to 49. So, yes, people wanted to see Mercedes Moné. That's it. That's all they did. Okay. So, but again, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it again, VRM, and I'm going to say it again, Nikki. AEW is in trouble. They know they're in trouble, but they don't. They're missing the history of it. I mean, I don't know how they don't see it. Okay, yeah, they sold out 10,000 tickets. Okay, but what about the other shows normally? Okay,
lately they've been having a really hard time putting butts in the seats.
Right, and WWE selling out everywhere. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and by the way, I'm going to be at the Go Home show next in 2 weeks.
No kidding.
Yeah, I won tickets.
Sweet. Okay. I don't think I can make it up there, though.
Okay. So Dynamite and Rampage next Wednesday at the Coliseum. The setup is about $5,000 and that. Okay. $5,000. Okay.
Yeah.
And they got it. They got it. $55,000. And they got it. Okay. So I'm just trying to think. Collision. They've got a setup for 3,000 and they've got about 300 left. 3,000! How could a major, supposedly the number two company, right?
Yeah.
Be selling 3,000, 2,000, 4,000, 5,000. I mean, look, and I understand The Rock is a rarity. I understand The Rock is different, but come on. You're being sold. You're selling 12,000, 15,000. Okay, I'll ask you this. How would you solve the AEW problem? Or can you solve the AEW problem?
Supposedly with the way Tony Khan seems to be looking at it, he doesn't think he can with the roster he's got.
What do you mean by that?
Why do you think he's pulling in Ospreay, and why do you think he's throwing that much money that could have been used in helping develop storylines if our two EVPs could stop being douchebags and actually perform, give me a reason to watch.
Oh yeah, the second they came on the show, I was like, oh, back to the basketball.
Right. Oh no. You see, Tony Khan would rather invest his money in a psychopath that would go through a pane of glass and then break his ankle 2 days later, 3 days later, or whenever it was, against Jay White, and then blow his chance to climb Mount Everest till next year. Darby, you're a stupid idiot.
And Darby, please,
for the love of God, get out of the ring before they cancel the show.
This is a guy who's been warned by John Moxley and Jeff Hardy that some of the stuff he's doing is stupid.
He's been warned by Mox? Really?
By Mox.
If John fucking Moxley is telling you that's a bad idea,
it's a bad idea.
It's a very bad idea, and he speaks from experience.
Yes.
And if Jeff Hardy, Mr. Risk Taker himself, is standing side by side with him and saying the same thing, you need to back the fuck up.
Seriously. I just, you know, it baffles me. You know, I get what Darby Allin's trying to do, but Darby, you gotta... There's ways to do that without getting yourself killed. Because, Mr., I took a Sawzall to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Knew how to do that without getting his brains, you know, his brains splattered all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Mr., I will jump off anything.
And have jumped off everything.
Yes. Knows how to land most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, the only person that would probably be cheering Darby on with what he's doing right now is Sabu.
Yeah, keep going further. Yes. Keep going.
Keep going. I want to see you tape, you know, why don't you just tape your ankle back together and get back in the ring?
Yeah, he'd do that.
Yeah.
He would do. And the thing is, I don't want him to fail. However, I'm laughing at his ass. He's stupid. He's fucking stupid. So is Mercedes Moné for signing with AEW. You're just a money-grubbing person who doesn't want who is going to get injured. You should have gone back. You should have gone back to WWE. You would have had a perfect storyline within the Bayley Dakota Kai stuff.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect. Oh my God. You know, you put Bayley and you have Bayley and Naomi tonight, and then you add the returning Sasha Banks or even the returning Mercedes Moné, you know?
Yeah. You want your new gimmick? Yeah, if you want your new gimmick, okay, you could do your new gimmick. We don't care. Sean Spears is doing Sean Spears. He's not doing Ty Dillinger anymore.
No, and so far he's succeeded. Brian Pillman Jr. is now Lexus King, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, to me, it's short-sighted. It's incredibly short-sighted. And I'm legitimately upset at the stupidity of this.
And as we mentioned in the pre-meeting, Jay, just the fact that I'm surprised they've gotten this far with, you know, with Tony Khan not being able to shut the tweet up.
Right. He still wants to fight. He's still, you know, you don't see Triple H going after people on Twitter, do you? No.
No.
And by the way,
reason to.
And by the way, do you think Triple H even runs his Twitter? Probably not.
No, but I'm hoping he at least has an advisory role.
Mm-hmm.
But, and Triple H's posts are usually congratulatory or, you know, something related to, you know, what's going on with the fucking company.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there to berate other people. He's not there to, you know, he doesn't have to do that. And he knows better. So he's not going to do that. Because if Tony Khan has to keep talking about WWE, then what's wrong with his product? You shouldn't have to talk about the competition if you have faith in yours, in your company.
Yeah, and the last thing you want to do is put more butts in the seat.
I mean, put it to you this way. And as we move on to the WrestleMania card, it was very interesting that Cody Rhodes did a sit-down crying interview. And he basically said to Michael Cole, he said, I crushed the throne. Yeah, I made mistakes. He admitted, he admitted where he went without saying where he went.
Right.
Okay.
Because if you are a wrestling fan, you know where he went and you know what he did.
Right. And he admitted that he could have done things a little bit better, but he wants to finish his story for his dad, which, by the way, The Rock ripped him a new butthole for it tonight. Okay. Big time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's like, after you slapped me, what could you do? What did you do? You went and cried. Where, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. But so we have a lot of matches that were set up this particular week. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we start with the Intercontinental Champion. And boy, was that match fun. The gauntlet match.
It was.
Oh God. So you had the beginning was, what was it, Ricochet, and who's the other one? It wasn't Chad Gable, was it?
No.
But it was Ricochet, and I'm trying to remember who the other person was, because it was like, okay, who?
It was Double Face. It was Double Face. I know that much.
Yeah.
It was. Let's see, who was it? So you had Bronson Reed, Sami Zayn.
Was it Jay?
Okay, hold on. Let me look. Sorry, because it was so good, you know.
Yep, and live research is okay.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, here we go. Pardon me. It was J.D. McDonagh. That's right.
I was actually good either way.
It was Ricochet, and then Shinsuke came in. Okay. And then it was Bronson. It was Bronson Reed.
Then Sammy.
Okay. And then Chad Gable.
Yes. Who should have won this.
Yes. I agree. And this is wrong. And by the way, because they're going to have a contract signing this Monday, I believe they're going to make it a triple. They should anyway.
I agree with. I would. I think Chad Gable deserves it.
Yes, he does.
He's had to put up with a lot of shit, and has still managed to stay over with the fans. And he deserves the title, because that Shorty G stuff just.
Yeah, I know, but
So I was wrong about this being the ladder match. But there is a ladder match.
There is a ladder match coming. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to have a 6-way tag team ladder match.
Which is how TLC's got started, right? It was all tag teams.
True. So it's going to be a 6-pack ladder match, and they're going to be 5 teams, and the qualifying has started this week. Okay. But yeah, Sammy had the comments. It was very interesting because Sammy was upset about the boos that he got this week. Okay.
Yeah. That was kind of odd, but I think a lot of people were also rooting for Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
We're not booing you, Sammy. We're booing the decision.
Because that would have been a no-brainer, actually.
Like I said, he's been through enough shit. Let's put a belt on him.
Yeah, hold on. I think I have it. Just again, I'm looking. I'm trying to find the thing that he may have written on Instagram. I don't know if it's been deleted or not, but I'm going to look. Okay. But it was a very, very interesting. It was a very interesting comment because he was really upset, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sammy. oh no! See, he hasn't posted anything in a while yet.
Okay.
All right. So that brings us to Jay.
Yes, who challenged his brother Jimmy for a shot at WrestleMania on SmackDown tonight. Jimmy. I mean, Paul was scared out of his boots by, well, who was that? That wasn't Caleb Braxton, wasn't it? I don't know.
I don't think she's allowed to scare Uncle Paul.
Right. But then Jimmy said, "Eat, I want it." So it's going to be brother versus brother at WrestleMania.
Which we called a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. We called it the Rumble.
Well, yeah, but we knew that Jimmy and Jay have been wanting to do this for a while.
And they're going to finally get a chance to do it. Mm-hmm. Who do you put over, Jay or Jimmy? The fans, yes.
I was going to say, the winners of this match are the fans. Mm-hmm. But, to be honest, they probably want Jay to go over.
Mm-hmm.
You got to call, if you're going to call him main event, you got to start giving him main event.
Mm-hmm. So then you had LA Knight, who was being interviewed, and he took the mic and he basically said, "I've been fine looking around, AJ, but you haven't been around. So I'm challenging your ass." Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. It was Caleb Braxton, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And he says, and then he says, "Yeah, I want a humble." He says, "I may not own the place, but he's going to own AJ ass." And AJ said, "You know what? fuck you."
Steel chair.
And then he sits down and says, "I accept." So we have Styles, LA Knight. And then in the, you've got to be fucking kidding. Okay. So Logan Paul has the cojones to go into Nick Aldis's office. Okay.
He should know better.
Yeah, I know. And he basically says, "You know what? Did you see what happened last week?" He says, "Randy Orton interrupted my biggest sponsorship deal," which, by the way, is legitimately true, "to have the Prime drink logo on all pay-per-views." I almost said the other thing. On the center of the mat. Okay. And Nick says, "Oh, really?" He says, "Why don't you do your doll job and ask Randy Orton to give me an apology in the ring?" And he looks at Paul, and all this shit looks at him, and then says, "Oh," and Logan says, "Oh yeah, that's right. You don't do your job very well. Like, you haven't even found me a WrestleMania opponent yet."
Challenge accepted.
Okay.
Well, not immediately. So
Randy Orton has a good match with Grayson Waller and beats him. Okay.
Theory comes in afterwards for shenanigans.
Logan Paul was on commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Logan Paul and Grayson Waller and Austin Theory try and triple team him. Orton gets out of the way. I believe RKO to
Kevin comes in for this because Theory's holding Randy. Logan's gearing up for his megaton punch. Kevin Owens comes out,
and then Nick Aldis comes out.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the stun KO.
Oh yeah, talk about this. This is a great move.
Okay, so.
Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, Kevin Owens breaks everything up, goes to get Randy's attention. Randy almost hits him with an RKO. I was like, whoa. Kevin's able to push him off. It's like, whoa, hold on. And then Randy, and then they're like staring each other down. They're talking real quick, and then Randy's like, "Hey, behind you." Austin Theory comes in, gets the boot to the gut, stunner, and then using the lift from the stunner directly into the RKO.
That sounds pretty. I didn't get to see that part.
Let me see if I can find it while you're talking. Good. Yeah.
Then Nick Aldis comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, so did you get that apology from Randy?
I didn't.
By the way, I've got your opponent for WrestleMania. Or should I say your opponents?
Yes.
And it is a triple threat match. Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens.
Now, unfortunately, under the triple threat rules, Logan Paul has a really good chance to retain.
Yep. Under the minority rules, yep.
So, I'm not terribly happy about that, but you know, that would make me a hypocrite if I start yelling about part-timers.
Catch punch, catch punch, catch punch. We will get to see that, though.
Oh, yeah. God! Oh, wow! Okay, hold on. This is about start this and share. You know what? I'm going to share the screen for a second here, okay?
Okay. Oh,
here comes the stun KO.
The stun KO, which is really great. Hold on a minute. Let me share my screen here with this. Share
sound.
They're
a tag team. That has to be their finisher.
Yes. Okay. Can you see all that?
Yes.
Okay. Turning on the sound. Watch this.
Oh!
Whoops. Behind you. Watch this.
Stunner to Theory.
Oh, that's pretty.
You want to see it again?
No, that's all I need.
I mean,
that
he jumped
pretty.
A little high. He did jump for it, but still.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
That still means Logan Paul's going to win.
Unfortunately, yes.
So we also had a match which should have been on the WrestleMania card. I don't think they trust it to be, which is Rey Mysterio challenging Escobar this week.
It surprises me that wasn't going to be saved for Mania.
I agree. And then, of course, so right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 matches. We need about 3 or 4 more. Name them for me.
Legado del Fantasma versus DLWO.
Again? Okay.
Either that. I still. Go ahead. Either that, or they're gonna shenanigans something to get Rey Escobar at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, even though Shayna has a commitment a couple days before, I still want Shayna and Zoe versus the Kabuki Warriors for the women's tag.
Didn't they do it already this week?
Then who do they? I don't want to see the Kabuki Warriors not have a match at Mania.
But that's well, they're going to eventually.
And of course, we have the armbar.
Yes. The everybody gets a paycheck battle royal.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. I enjoy that. But yes.
No, it's not a complaint by any means.
But before we go into something else, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a very interesting question because we talked about this, and I'm hearing everything about how you book night one and night two between The Rock, Roman, Seth, and Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are rumors that they're saying that Cody is not going to finish his story, that they are petty enough to have Roman break Hogan's record.
That's what I wanted. But I still think that the actual villain in all of this is still The Rock.
Okay.
Who's going to end up screwing everybody.
How do you... Well, there is actually something very interesting that came up today.
Okay.
Okay. It's about his movie schedule.
All right.
Okay. Because VRM, we found out that The Rock is filming some movies in about a month or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hold on.
In fact, let's go to his filmography.
IMDb, anyone?
Mm-hmm.
He is, Red 1 and Moana 2 are in post-production.
Mm-hmm. Because now this is because he is filming
The Smashing Machine.
Right. The Life and Times of Mark Kerr, which is he was delayed during Rock is producing the project. And it's co-starring Emily Blunt. And the filming process is expected to last about 3 months between May and August. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, could he do SummerSlam? I don't know. Could he do Survivor Series? And by the way, that's a segue, Nikki. You have a chance to go.
Oh, you're talking about SummerSlam.
Yes.
Indeed. Since it's in Cleveland and I've actually got the time off wrangled.
Uh-huh.
It's a very good chance that I could go out there and actually do more than just Saturday. If
fun
I wanted
times
to.
Times in Cleveland again.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Obligatory Drew Carey appearance.
It's going to be Saturday, August 3rd, one night. SmackDown before August 2nd.
Shit. I've got the wrong weekend.
Mm-hmm. And that's at Cleveland Browns Stadium.
Okay. That just instantly turned into a maybe. You know what else is going on that weekend?
Gen Con?
Yeah.
Well... So you're saying Gen Con and SummerSlam in the same weekend? Is that what you're saying?
That's hard. Gen Con's in Indianapolis.
Okay. Well, good. Then the deodorant supplies better be on the high on both, if you know what I mean. No disrespect.
No, I get you.
Besides, I've been to cons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of conventions, that gives me a segue.
Okay.
Where's my phone? I know my phone.
Okay, and then I have another segue within this segue. Go ahead.
Okay. So this past weekend, I went down to Calvacade in Chillicothe, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And
by the way, this is an At the Guardrail segment.
Yes. Essentially, it was a lot of different stars, past and present, who were essentially doing autograph signings, photo ops, and eventually later in the night, some of them even wrestled. The big draw was the fact that RVD and Matt Riddle were going to face off
in the highest match ever.
Yes. I didn't get much chance to talk to Zen Meister because he had a line. He had a long ass line. But at least I got to say, hey, Sabu was with him. Sabu gave me a great big hug. Hopefully I didn't catch anything. Reconnected with Al Snow. Got a photo op with Buff Bagwell, Tony Atlas, Pirate Paul Burchill, Little Guido, a.k.a. Nunzio, who I did ask, where's my pizza? He says, we're still looking.
Oh, good.
Ultimo Dragon and Sonny Ono.
Oh, wow.
I tried to get a picture with Chavo Guerrero, but I ran out of money. Ursa Cat Miller was there. I didn't get a picture with him. Shark Boy was there. I didn't get a picture with him. And the other big draws for autographs and stuff were Kurt Angle, who I got a handshake out of because I couldn't afford $200 to stand in his line.
$200. Hey, Cody, what do you think of that?
This right here is bullshit.
I mean, especially God.
I was going to say, especially since Matt Riddle was only like 60 and RVD was 50.
Both of them should have been $42.
$4.20. Anyway, yeah, I get you. But I did.
You see what I did there? Yes.
I know, and I worked on that. I did finally get to catch up with Matt Riddle. I finally gave him the poster.
Oh, cool!
And if I could find my freaking phone, which I can't right now, and I don't know why. I have a wonderful picture of him holding up the poster and me holding his belt.
Nice.
The wrestling event was kind of muddy. Things were kind of slow and things felt a little disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
I think the two best matches were the main, and they had a Little People's Triple Threat match. They were good. Oh, my goodness. I really enjoyed that. When Matt and RVD got going on their match, they went for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then America's Most Wanted came out and said, "This is bullshit."
Mm-hmm.
So the crowd, the crowd immediately, before they even suggested it, immediately started chanting RV Bro.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a tag match, which was fun. I still wanted to, we still wanted to see Matt and RVD do their thing. But after that was over, they were doing photo ops and selling the turnbuckle pads that Riddle and RVD both signed. They wanted $250.
That's seriously.
For $50, I would have been happy to go in the ring and just take a picture with the two of them. I don't want the turnbuckle pads. I'm not an autographs person.
Mm.
But I did get a couple autographs, but the whole point was that I was trying to get pictures with people. I also met a woman who does design work on Jerry Lawler's crowns. She had one designed specifically for WrestleMania 40 in beautiful deep emerald green with the logo on it. I did get a picture of it, so I'll show you that later. But it was a good time, and I got myself in and out of trouble, and hopefully it might mean work down the road. But we'll see. So segue away, Jason.
Okay, so we're talking about The Rock's movie career, and we're talking about, the fact that he may be on. But he was, put it to you this way. There were three major WWE stars at the Oscars on Sunday night. Okay.
Yes.
Now, in the more sophisticated part, Dwayne Johnson, because we're not calling him The Rock here, because that's the other guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm, okay. Dwayne Johnson, okay. Dwayne Johnson and Bad Bunny presented the best international film to the Zone of Interest. Okay. And Bad Bunny was also celebrating, I believe, his 30th birthday. But then... Thank you. So, John Cena... Okay, no, so Jimmy Kimmel said, look, 50 years ago, there was a streaker who went paraded around naked after David Niven, while David Niven was presenting an award, and we're going to do a segue, you know, we're going to do a salute to this. John Cena comes out. Psst. Hey, Jimmy, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. He says, yes, you are. It's a great bit. No, you're not doing this. Look, man, I don't want to do it. He goes, you're doing it, and that's it. So John
Cena shuffles out like one of the normalized monsters from Rampage.
Right.
Covering his manhood. Region. Yeah, covering his manhood with the envelope, which means he couldn't open it.
Now, here's the interesting story. In VRM, I hope you read this, okay? There was a very big standards and practices about what you could show and what you couldn't show. And the size of the envelope. Now, John Cena was not legitimately naked.
No.
Okay. He had, now, I'm going to give you a Hollywood term, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which is called a modesty pouch. Okay?
Yeah.
What the modesty pouch, you can pretty much imagine what the modesty pouch does. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. And also what they had to do was they had to make sure that his butt crack was not exposed. For real.
That one I still don't get, but yeah.
Okay. So they did that, well, because it's television, not the movies, but you understand. Okay, anyway.
Still.
So they had to, so while they were doing the nominees, there was a quick costume change where he actually was put in a toga. There's video of this. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And then he did present the award, I believe it was to Poor Things. But yes, so John Cena, The Rock, and the Bad Bunny were all at the Oscars, and a fight didn't break out. I'm very surprised about this.
No. What should have happened then is that The Rock should have been there. You know, The Rock's there, and then Cody Rhodes just kind of taps him on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And give him another bullshit, you know, another this is bullshit comment.
This right here is bullshit.
And no, then I think then slaps that, Rock into next week.
The Oscars wouldn't have liked that very much.
Yeah.
Well, no, because it was the year after the whole Will Smith thing.
Yeah, I know.
No, I just you know, Cody could have said, I can get you anywhere, anytime, you know, or something like that. It could have been something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, but so, yeah. So, and by the way, there's still Coyote versus Acme is still being, you know, trying to be.
Are they still trying to shop it?
No, they're not trying to shop it. They're trying to, we know people who've seen it.
I want to be one of the people who saw it. So they need to do something about that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what you're saying.
Yeah. Zaslav cans that, but says we're going to make more live service games.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that work out for you with the squad?
Yeah. The Suicide Squad. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
What is it like? Terrible not even 500, not even 500 concurrent players right now.
You're looking?
I'm looking at it on Steam charts, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
That $30 million tax cut is useless when you could be making $3 billion on that movie.
Okay, 723 current.
Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of Hollywood, we have a pretty big divorce in the wrestling world this week. Did you hear about this, Nikki?
No.
CJ Perry and Miro have decided to quit being together.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I honest to God did not hear about this.
Yeah, they separated. And just hold on. There is no, you know, wicks are not being dipped in other people's places, and they just grew apart. Okay. Broke up for, according to TMZ and other multiple sources, they broke up in winter 2023. Okay. Mm-hmm. They married in July 2016. And she confirmed, Miro and I have made the difficult decision to separate after many wonderful years together and decided to move on as friends and hopefully on-screen characters somewhere down the road. As for what went wrong, our sources say there wasn't an explosive fight or cheating. They simply grew apart over the years. They want to work together in the future. They haven't filed for divorce yet, but they're separated. Wow. That's sad, really.
It's sad that they're doing this, but I'm happy that it's not something controversial.
No.
I'm happy for that. And it's mutual, so sad, yes. But if this is what they need to get on with their lives,
mm-hmm.
who are we to say?
Exactly. There's another rock and roll wrestling musical called The Last Match. We talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Mickey James has actually joined the cast as the mother. So, I mean, it's actually, I'm just saying, is it anywhere near close to you? No, it's just going to be East Coast. The final performance is going to be at Center Stage in Atlanta in May.
Mm.
But they're doing a lot of shows in Rochester to get it ready for the tour. So that should be fun. So I'm just trying to see. So we are getting Danielson Ospreay at AEW Dynasty. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Basketball will preempt Collision. We'll move to Rampage to TBS next week, right? Now it's some time for basketball, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't have that one. Actually, no, I think I do have that one loaded. Let me double check that. To the soundboard. Old and unused. Yeah, I have that.
Let's hear it.
Where are you? There you are.
That's this coming Thursday. That's a week from today, right? Week from tomorrow. Week from Thursday, right?
Technically a week from Tuesday. So yeah, Tuesday with the first four.
Right. Oh man. And by the way, we talked about it last week, but it is official, and most importantly, our good friend Brian Henniger is out of the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions.
Ooh.
He VRM, it was not pretty. He fought. He fought the good fight. He fought the good fight, but went up against two giants and, well, went home with $10,000 and is in the top nine of the Tournament of Champions for 2024. Good. But you know what? He got to live the dream not once, but twice. Good for him.
So that means he owes me $1,500. I want my 15%. That's why he didn't want to be on the show. He knew I was going to ask.
I know. No, but seriously, he actually parlayed that to actually writing and hosting Jeopardy in his workplace today.
Cool.
So. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of being on the shows, someone was on the other company's show this week.
Oh,
yes.
This was funny. Yes. So on Monday night show, they were doing a little cross promotion at the expense of UFC 299. Mm-hmm. And Rhea Ripley was there with some guy they can't talk about.
Did somebody actually say who the hell is that? Who's that guy?
Pat did.
Thank you, Mr. McAfee. You are a national treasure.
Yeah.
Speaking of Pat.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They just announced this. Right. The evil boss, Dr. Levesque, will be on the Pat McAfee show.
Yay.
That is going to be the Friday show.
And our dear tribal chief is also going to be on the show, too, right?
Will they be on together?
Right. Yes. Oh, and by the way, Pat, they also announced it, and Pat shouted, "With whom?" Who is that guy?
Thank Doofus. You, Pat.
Doofus. Okay, Roman Reigns, Pat McAfee show. Yes. Roman Reigns is going to film in Iowa City. Yeah, that's Iowa City. On March 22nd, that's a week from today.
Okay.
From the University of Iowa Fieldhouse, because they're going to be in Milwaukee that night, and that's a quick private jet flight, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know.
So what is he filming? Or is that are you talking?
The Pat McAfee show is going to film at the Iowa Fieldhouse because that would be the round of eight, right? At that point.
That's when is that?
Next Friday, the 22nd. That's the 316 into the final eight.
No, next Friday is just the first round.
The 22nd?
The 22nd is the first round. Well, technically.
Oh, yeah, let's see. First round sites.
Yeah.
NCAA tournament 2024. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just looking.
Omaha, Indy, Spokane, Salt Lake, Memphis, Charlotte, Pittsburgh, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yeah. The first four is in Dayton, actually.
Mm-hmm. Usually is.
So I know DJ will be there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so they're filming in Iowa and then Milwaukee. I don't know why they're at the Iowa Fieldhouse, but meh.
Meh.
But Pat's doing his thing, so...
So is the evil boss and Roman going to be on the same day?
No. Evil boss is going to be on WrestleMania weekend. Okay.
Yeah, WrestleMania Friday.
Yeah, hold on. Be back in a second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I was just curious because they could do some stuff with that, but maybe not. I don't think Hunter wants to get involved in the shenanigans that's going on with Rock and Roman and Seth and Cody, mainly because it probably guts him that he can't jump in the ring with them.
Mm-hmm. It might be for the women's. Yeah, it's for the women's tournament. Okay, that's why.
Okay.
The women's team is the women's team is the number one seed. So NCAA. Women's basketball tournament. And because the women are not the Iowa women are a number one seed, that's why they'll be in Iowa because Iowa will be hosting.
Okay.
So
that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else do we need to talk about? We talked about Darby, we talked about AEW. We pointed and laughed at Mercedes.
Mm-hmm. Shayna.
Shayna's doing something with Game Changer, and I still think that she's, since they're not that far away, they're gonna be in Atlantic City. I realize they're not across the street from Philadelphia, but that's a short plane hop. So I hope Shayna gets to do something on Mania. I still want her and Zoe to take another crack at the Kabuki Warriors, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's about an hour from maybe a little more from Philly to AC.
So yeah, she can do both. Mm-hmm. Goodness, what else?
We've got Stand and Deliver.
That's true, and I think the only thing we have on that right now is Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. At least that's the only one I know about.
No, we got a couple.
Okay, what else we got?
We've got the NXT Tag Team Championships, which is Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker versus the winners of a tournament.
Okay.
And that is going to be the tournament final is the LWO.
Okay.
It's a triple threat match, so it's going to be LWO. And then two of the following. Axiom and Nathan Frazier versus No Quarter Catch Crew.
Okay.
Hank Walker and Tank Ledger versus the OC.
So let's see. Because to be honest, I hate to say this, but the Wolf Dogs are probably gonna drop the belt so Bron can stay on SmackDown. That's just my prediction, but I could be very probably wrong.
There we go. I'm still here. So what's up?
Mm-hmm. We were talking about Stand and Deliver, and I'm still thinking that Breakker and Corbin are going to drop the tag belts so that Bron Breakker can concentrate on being on SmackDown.
Yeah, but who? Back to the Family, maybe? Or somebody else?
Oh, well, you got the Good Brother. Huh?
The Good Brothers? Really?
Yeah, I know. That's cheap, but AJ's not working with them, so.
No.
He can't. Because didn't he kick him out last week?
Right. No, we have three matches set up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ilya versus Tony. Ilya's okay. Still going to win.
I think.
I don't think Tony is singles ready yet. Trick versus Carmelo and Baron and Bron versus the tournament winners. Okay.
Yeah, we just went through the tournament right now.
Mm-hmm.
LWO's already through to the final. Axiom Nathan Frazier and No Quarter Catch Crew in one of the other first round matches, and then Hank Walker Tank Ledger versus the OC.
So I would think you put in the OC and you put in the No Quarter Catch Crew. Oh no, you put in Axiom and Nathan Frazier. Although there was a funny bit either this week or last week, mm-hmm. when Charlie Dempsey, who I believe owns the UK Heritage Cup, I believe.
That was last week because yeah. when Daddy came out.
Yes. So
is that everything?
I think so.
The books.
Oh, yeah, books. Right. there's a lot of good books coming out over the next couple months, actually. I have this here. And it's really some good stuff. Just give me a moment here because I had it up and I closed it. I am so sorry. But because one of them and one of the books actually broke the internet already. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Which is Becky Lynch, The Man, Not Your Average Girl. There's a picture out there. It's the opening picture of the book where Becky and Seth and were posing after WrestleMania 35 in their belts and nothing else.
Oh.
Let me see if I can find it, because hold on. Becky Lynch bell photo. Yeah, here we go. Book. Because this was insane. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, here we go. Check. This was post WrestleMania 35. It's from Reddit, but the picture is pretty good. If you enlarge the picture, just go, oh my. Seriously. Enlarge the picture.
Okay, hang on. Why will it not let me do anything? God damn it. I want to see this and I can't. Oh, there it is. Open chat.
Money Night Rot in full effect, baby.
Yeah, but also
Brain Bleach.
Really?
Oh, that's hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious.
Okay. So that book comes out a week from Tuesday. There is a book tour that goes around with that. Okay. There's a book April 2nd, Macho Man, The Untamed, Unbelievable Life of Randy Savage by John Finkel. The six pack of WrestleMania, tracking employees of, and then Ronda Rousey's set. What is that? Her second memoir or her first?
I don't know. I wouldn't buy her books.
Okay. And then the last one, which is May 7th, Business is About to Big Up. 50 years in wrestling and 50 unforgettable calls by Jim Ross and Paul O'Brien. Combine that with the fact that Jim Ross just said that this year is his last year of calling shows. He signed one more year.
No, that's good. I hate to see him go, but I understand.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this a long time. And not that I'm ready to see him hang up his hat, but that's all good.
Yeah, because right now I'll throw this in there. The dean of announcers is Michael Cole, right?
Correct. At the moment, yes. Currently, okay. Yes.
He says, and I quote, Corey Graves is the heir apparent to me.
But he's a color guy.
Well, he says, I'll read what he said. He did an interview with Awful Announcing this week. Okay.
Appropriate. Oh. You didn't hear that.
Oh, stop. Will you stop? Okay. He said, we tried some people. After the parted ways with Tom Phillips, Tom Hannifin, Adnan Virk, Jimmy Smith, and Kevin Patrick. He says, amid all of that, he said Cole had confidence in Graves. He commended him for his acumen and quickness in learning on the job. Cole said he'd already had a bit of experience, so it was just in Cole's mind a matter of giving him the opportunity to sit side by side for many years to watch, learn, study, and see how I do things. And at the end of the day, when we gave him the shot, he's been killing it. I believe he's the heir apparent. Okay. Cole explained, Corey was the veteran of the booth. What happened is they were learning how to do the role on live TV. Corey naturally just morphed into doing some play-by-play, handling some of the traffic, doing some of the stuff a normal play-by-play guy would do. He just started doing it more and more and more to the point where a few months ago we said, wait, we might be doing the right thing on doing us a disservice. We may have the person right here under our nose. And I think that's how it came out. It's like a light bulb went off. Corey can do this. Okay.
Yeah, Corey could do both. I don't think he could do it Joey Styles, but.
And he also said, Corey came in at a good time. He explained the differences, but under the new regime, things are looser. The direction's different. There's a lot more trust in commentators now than there was before. Oh, you want the translation?
Yes, nobody's shouting in my ear anymore.
Do you actually have that one, VRM? About your daddy's not here anymore?
Not saved, but I can find it.
Okay. We're having the opportunity to be ourselves, open up, develop character, crawl pro wrestling, sports entertainment the way we want to. Corey was able to jump in under this new regime, and it was the perfect chance to make a switch. This was the time to do it. Okay. He says about Graves, he's one of the most passionate people I've ever met in our business. He had this unbelievable level for what we do. We wanted to be a performer. He had his career cut short because of injuries, but didn't want to give this up. He did everything he could, busted his ass, and finally got the opportunity in a commentary role to be himself. Have a character and edge, and be part of the business, which he loved since he was a kid.
I don't have it.
Okay.
Tisk.
Okay. You want me to find? Okay. I've been here 27 years now, and there's a reason I've been in that chair for that long. I think I'm doing something right. Corey's had the opportunity to watch me operate, and now he takes what he's learned, the fundamentals of what he's learned, and takes them and makes them his own. Corey now has a Corey Graves point. A lot of issues we had that we were trying to develop commentators to be Michael Cole, he admitted. Now we have a chance to develop Corey Graves. I truly, honestly believe he's going to be the one to replace me. He's an incredible human being. He has a great opportunity. Okay. Good for – wow. That's rub.
That's some high praise. And I'm – you know, I haven't heard Corey – you know, maybe I'm just not paying attention.
No, Corey's been good, VRM. He's good. He's really good.
As a color guy, he reminds me of Ventura.
Right, but as a play-by-play guy, he's even better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll put a bigger ear on that.
Oh, and also, do you happen to have the Dragnet theme for me, VRM?
Dragnet.
Okay.
Is this the right one? Yeah, I know that's Law and Order.
Mm-hmm. Be right back, guys.
Yeah, okay.
Dragnet. There it is.
Yep, because people were named in the WWE lawsuit, VRM.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Corporate officers number one and number two were Nick Khan and COO Brad Blum. Okay. And from the story, and this is from frontofficesports.com. I'm gonna send it to you so you could take a look with me, okay? As Nikki takes a moment. In the lawsuit, okay, McMahon presented Blum and Khan to Grant as key fixers. He relied on Blum for assistance in placing Grant in that legal job, okay? And corporate officer number three, Steph. which Janelle Grant said, quote, knows of other instances of Vince McMahon engaging in inappropriate sexual contact. Okay. And number four, I have it here. I'm sorry. There's a, if you go to full, oh, good grief.
Brian Nurse.
Yes.
Formerly general counsel and head of WWE Legal.
Mm-hmm. But one person is not there. Doofenshmirtz. Okay. Another person who's not there, John Laurinaitis. Okay. But the fact that Nick Khan was named, oh boy, not good. Not good at all, really. The story won't continue, though. There's going to be a dark cloud over WrestleMania with this, and we all know that. So that's pretty much it. I don't think we should make an edit point here. Do you think we should go into plugs? I think we should go into plugs.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, we just talked about who was named in the lawsuit.
Okay.
You know, so let's do some plugins in VRM. I'm glad you recovered from Tuesday on the BS because, oh my God, holy crap. Okay.
Yeah, it was like Monday and Tuesday were a nightmare in free agency in the quote unquote legal tampering period. Although some of the tampering may not have been legal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, the Cowboys really need to learn what the terms all in means.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that their EVP said, oh, all in doesn't just mean what we do in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Dumbass.
Yeah, how many people have you actually signed in free agency?
Zero!
Exactly.
Although your Lions did pretty good. They extended Dan Campbell.
And as a defensive coordinator, I think.
The GM. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the GM got extended too.
Cool. Well, I mean,
yeah, better than what we did.
Well, we're this close. We are this fucking close.
Mm-hmm.
I want to shake Dan Campbell's hand.
Mm.
But that's just me.
So over on the WLTI, we talked about a Survivor. RuPaul's Drag Race pulling a little shenanigans, and we also talk about the Tournament of Champions, where as of now, as of today, as we record this, Yogesh Raut, Troy Meyer, and Ben Chan have gone through four games. Ben Chan is leading 2-1-1, best of three. If Ben wins on Monday, we go by next Wednesday, we will know who the Tournament of Champion winner is, and then we go into a heavy hitter tournament called the Jeopardy Invitational, where 28 of the best of the best play for $100,000 and a shot to be on Jeopardy Masters. Okay.
So has our buddy gotten the phone call yet, or
no? Because he didn't win.
Ooh.
You know, so.
He's in the top 10. Let's get him on TV again.
He would love it, but right now, not so much. So there's that. Of course, it was a thing on TV, Knickknacks, and all the shows here on 5 and 1. Nikki, you want to do your shout-outs, your artist shout-outs?
Yeah, give me a second. I didn't have my stuff pulled up, which is bad. This will take a second. But I will start with our resident artist who needs to get her butt back on this show. Mm-hmm. Jamie Claudier has pretty much rediscovered art in the sense that she's been drawing a lot of stuff from a cartoon called Has Been Hotel.
Oh, God, she's been, y'all, no kidding. Oh, my goodness.
This has got her to 1,000 followers, by the way.
Good, 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 good.
And so she's been very happy. She's really confident in her art skills now, and it's just wonderful to hear. So go check her out at Alter Ego Zowie, also on Twitter and on Instagram. She's pretty busy on both. Let's mm-hmm. see. So as for other artists, obligatory Oniwamashu mention. Mm-hmm. I love her art. She hasn't been doing much though. But go look up her stuff, and if she does have a card account, CARRD.co. She does have commissions open. Click that link. Let me see what we got here. Things I will do. Okay. Chibis, line art. Oh, here we go. God, I love her stuff. Okay. Commissions. What she will do, fan art, original art, nouveau, art deco, gift art based on real people, character sheets, humans, furries, monsters, light, NSFW and gore, storyboards, and comics. Things I will not do, mecha, except for Generation 1 Transformers, technical drawing for my own sanity, explicit NSFW/gore, understood, inflammatory themes, and NFTs.
Oh, nice.
No NFTs. So these are actually very reasonable prices. Large stuff like commercial use art and a comic page, I think you got to negotiate. But she's listed for chibi, line art, colors, shading, illustrations, additional characters, OC original character design services, stained glass windows, which was some really cool shit that she did a few years ago, and a magazine cover. So she's got some stuff. She's got some examples. Oh, wow. Yeah, there's some good stuff here. I'm glad I looked. I might have to hit her up. See what my finances look like. J-Rock at J-Rock Draws. Variable styles, reasonable rates. He's the one who did my latest of the Moxistential pictures, where Mox is already bleeding and Dean's like, we haven't even started fighting yet. Dozer Draws at Little Dozer Baby. Beautiful, beautiful work. Somebody who did an awesome shield picture for me. His commissions are open.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're closed right now. But that's fine. Go check out that art because lovely variety of stuff. Nahuel Tajes and Otanad. If you like anime with your wrestling, check these guys out, especially Otanad, who's just nuts. You'll find most of his stuff on Instagram. Nahuel Tajes draws a variety of styles, and he's available on Twitter. His commissions are usually open, and he's very inexpensive. Let's see. No, that's not who I thought it was. Okay. James Diotto. James at James Diotto. His commissions are open. He does some pretty good stuff. He got a whole lot of attention here a couple of weeks ago. This amazing picture of Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm. Which I believe Rhea Ripley retweeted, I think. Not 100% sure.
So Also, if you like horror, sci-fi, fantasy, look up Sal V. Cloak at The Dark Cloak. His style is H.R. Giger level shit. I mean, you want some really good art, check him out. His commissions are usually open. He might be a little on the expensive side, but he's worth it. He is 100% worth it. And I think I'm done.
And I think we are done because you're here.
Yeah, I don't have anything else because we're right here. I'm glad we got to do this tonight. So for VRM, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week as we continue the roller coaster towards WrestleMania.